This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In 2016, we saw how cybercriminals continued to take advantage of the vulnerabilities in legitimate websites. We also saw an organizational shift by cybercriminals whereby they adopted corporate best practices and established professional business in order to increase the efficiency of their attacks against enterprises and consumers. As we enter 2017, security experts at Symantec have taken a closer look at the trends we can expect to see this year. And here with me today in the studio is David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia. David, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Jeff. Thank you.
Before we look ahead at 2017, look forward to 2017, we have to sort of look back at the year of 2016. Yeah. What were some of the key moments in the cybersecurity space?
I think when you look back at 2016, you cannot avoid the fact that, you know, the whole DDoS attack that happened. I think the implication had far-reaching effect around that, right? Because a lot of the consumers were affected. It basically took down major social media sites, you know, music streaming sites. I think it affects a lot of our daily lives, how we consume the internet. So when those sites are taken offline, everybody be wondering, you know, what actually happened, right? So with the distributed denial of service attack, that was, I think, one of the more memorable moments, I guess, from a cybersecurity.
And also, I think for me, like, that was one, and that sort of happened actually just a few months ago. And that's how scary it is, because, you know, we're talking about 2016, like, you know, oh, that happened, we've learned from it, we've moved on. Yeah. But actually, it's not. That's not the case. That's sort of, in a way, the beginning of what could happen if the more relaxed we are about, you know, the Internet of Things in that sense.
I mean, that's the funny thing. I mean, every now and then we need somehow, you know, it's just maybe human nature. We need something like this to kind of remind us, right? or, you know, like a wake-up call to say that you still need to be very careful out there. I think especially with technology, with Internet, I think it's a new adoption of technologies. Consumers are going out there buying all these IoT devices in spate without considering security because of conveniences. You plug it into the environment and boom, you know, something like this happens to kind of wake us up and say, hey, you know, you need to think about what you're really doing and whether do you really need to connect up your fridge up to the internet, right?
Is it really necessary here?
Yeah.
And I think therein lies sort of like the bigger problem of, you know, a lot of these manufacturers of devices that previously were, you know, never had the faintest of idea of being connected to the internet are now making sensors into their fridge and, you know, their toasters and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they are not a tech player. They're more manufacturers of these kind of things. And I think a lot of these companies, of these manufacturers, have to really take a look at security, even though they're not a tech player in that sense.
Correct. I think especially with devices, IoT devices, you need to come to the fact that you need to build security in, right? You can't bolt on security onto these devices. Even from the DIN attack, we saw that the devices, it's not that easy to update or, you know, recall the devices back and put a firmware upgrade and then make sure it's all secured again. It's on the device manufacturer to make security simple for the users to use. We're not saying that they don't put anything, they do put, but it's just so complicated. The jargons are so technical, consumers don't even understand what they're trying to do. They just want to get it up and running and with the simplest configuration.
And there's both sides of it. One is, you know, some manufacturers do make it slightly difficult or it's not as clear as possible. But then there's also the other side, like consumers, when you talk about tech, they just be afraid of it, even though the steps only maybe require a one-click step. But it's still something when they look at it and go like, the fear of whoa, this is way too much, way too technical for me.
So I guess in a way, we sometimes do need a wake-up call. So, you know, both sides of the fence, I think, needs to play the part. Consumers demanding the manufacturers to make it simple, but, you know, else the consumers will want to go somewhere else to get a more secure device.
And what about ransomware? Was that also something that came out in 2016 and, you know, really kind of made us just to realize, wow, our devices, that's something that, you know, we really need to protect it.
Correct. Right. So ransomware, has been a menace in 2016, and I think that will, if anything, increase in 2017, moving into, you know, the newer technologies again, right, which we'll talk about later. But definitely in 2016, ransomware was a big issue. And gone are the days where when you get a virus infection into your machine, you call the IT guy, come down, you know, come and you look at it, install the antivirus signature, and life goes on, right? But with ransomware, it's not, right? It has got very real impacts to our everyday lives.
They normally give you a deadline of when you have to make a certain payment of whatever.
That's right.
Or not delete. Yeah,
correct. Well, that's on the consumer side, right? And that's your digital lives or your files on the computer. But, you know, one very specific example we saw was ransomware attacking critical systems like a public transport utility, which actually did happen in the US, right? It basically locked down the transport systems, and in this case, thankfully, there wasn't, you know, there were no lives were affected. But I think it was more from a business perspective. They had to open up the rail system, so people like practically got you know, free rides for a couple of days just because of ransomware. So there is a very practical business implication in there. But I mean, if you think about it, a lot of our lives go online. We are intertwined. Our lives with a lot of technologies, and to some extent, some depend on technology on their lives. So, you know, what would happen to in that sense? Mm.
And also, 2016, we saw a lot more effort from the public and also the private sector with, you know, they've got like new policies in place, whether it's just internally within the corporate, within the company itself, or it's like a guideline or a framework. You know, we've got stuff like PDPA has been around for about 2 years now already. Has any of these kind of like policies or framework been in place actually help in fighting cybercrime?
I think if anything, it has definitely raised the bar, right? It for one, for sure, I think made a lot of companies sit up and take notice in terms of how they're actually dealing with personal information when they interact with their customers out there. So in that sense, that is good. But I mean, my point is, with technology, you cannot wait for regulators to come in to say, you know, here are the guidelines and here's the rules that you have to play within, right? With technology, it changes so fast, really. A lot of these things, we need to take it upon ourselves to innovate in that sense, right? While making technology useful, how do you actually make it also secure in that sense? Mm.
And security is not something, it's not a waiting game, you know, security where you just wait for someone to set the guideline or the framework and then you follow through, because, you know, you never know, you could be attacked itself.
That's absolutely true. I mean, it was an interesting conversation I had with regards to that point. Security is not a waiting game, right? Gone are the days where you put in a piece of security technology and hope for the best and then walk away from it, right? But today, it's very different. You have to expect something is going to happen. So it means you have to prepare for it. If you wait for something to happen, it's already, you know, oftentimes too late. You know, you're scrambling to kind of resolve the incidents and things like that. Mm. You know, be it more from a consumer side or even from the enterprise side. Mm.
Yeah. And DDoS attacks, like you mentioned about DIN DNS and the way that they took down all these, you know, big players, these big services, and a lot of consumers were affected. It feels like a lot of the attacks that we talk about on the show, it's not something that it's new or revolutionary. It's just a new way in to a particular system or device for them to go into it. Right. It's and it feels like for DIN DNS, it was like the most easiest or the simplest way of, you know, attacking all these devices. Yeah. It feels like a lot of these attacks is now just making us realize that, wow, we just completely missed the phase one of protection, which is this, the consumer side of things. And we were looking way so far ahead. Should we take a step back in that sense?
Well, definitely. I mean, if we're going to learn from this kind of attacks, on the consumer side, you can see how they have far-reaching impact into the enterprises and, you know, social media and all this kind of sites out there that consumers actually consume from the internet itself. With regards to that, I think that's where consumers really need to make sure that they do understand, you know, what kind of technologies they're actually bringing into the environment, whether, you know, just be aware, you know, what kind of security capabilities these devices have, right? And demand it from the manufacturers themselves. Which, interestingly, you know, we within Symantec, we are actually noticing that as well. So, in fact, just literally yesterday or in earlier this month, we announced a new innovation that is meant to basically specifically protect Internet of Things devices at the consumer level. It's super user-friendly, right? It alerts the user when something is actually happening. Gone are the days where, you know, attacks are coming through the routers, and you go out, get an internet line, you just put in a router, but you don't really know what is coming through that router, that connection, right? All the good stuff and the bad stuff that's coming through.
It's also interesting because just, you know, recently been looking around at, you know, some of the devices that are, you know, connected to the internet because of the Internet of Things, like you get your fridge who are, you know, nowadays can connect to the internet. And previously when we were to buy a fridge from an electrical store, you would never once ask about how secure is my fridge or like how, you know, safe in the internet world is my fridge is. But now I think it's a question that a lot of consumers should probably put pressure on, you know, these manufacturers to know, like, you know, how secure actually is my fridge? Is that also some way that, you know, maybe could help in that sense?
I guess it comes down to the electrical sales guy when they're selling it to you, you know, the features of it, how cold, and another feature would be like,
because you'll never ask about secure. But it comes down to that point. The awareness itself needs to be there. All right. I'm speaking to David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia. And we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You're listening to Enterprise. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia. And we're talking about predictions in 2017 of what will happen in the cybersecurity space. David, so, you know, is the new era of cybercrime upon us then?
I think if you look at it, like I mentioned earlier, you know, technology is changing a lot. New technologies are coming. All the different operating systems with new capabilities are coming out there. In terms of a new era, so what we're seeing from a threats perspective or are things like what we call fileless malware, right? So gone are the days where malware are coming into your environment where it's a piece of file or somebody sending you a piece of document or that's infected that you have to interact with. But these days, the virus itself is so advanced that it does not even need to be written onto the hard drive, right? It just runs in memory, does what it needs to do, and then expand its influence or expand its mode, its virus, its infection on the endpoint itself. The other one, of course, is what we are seeing is with the recent initiative with people like Google, companies like Google, where they are actually advocating SSL, secure socket layers, or, you know, everything is being encrypted on the internet, you know, due to privacy or security reasons and things like that. And as a result of that, what's happening is a lot of the traffic are now going blind. Where a lot of security devices can't see because it's all secured and encrypted. And as a side effect, a lot of the new malware will now also get delivered through these new channels as well. And a lot of the traditional security tech that's out there will now fall blind to this kind of attacks just because of the encryption protocols that are being used out there.
Now, that sounds something that could be a real problem here, and like because a lot of people are now talking about encryption. You know, WhatsApp last year, it really released their encryption method. Everything is going to be encrypted. Malware is going to be encrypted as well. Correct. How do we go about this then?
So and that's where I think we in Symantec want to take that challenge up, right? We want to have that to give consumers or even enterprises particularly that visibility in terms of what is going in and out of their environment and be able to now take control back, right? We're not saying that, we're saying actually it's a good thing for you to encrypt, but encrypt things that you really need to encrypt, those sensitive transactions, but anything outside of that, you would want to basically peel open the encryption and look what is actually being delivered through and whether that's really, you really need that in your environment or not.
The other thing on the report I saw was that rogue nations will sort of hurt more in the digital world. Rogue nations defined, is this, are we talking about countries like North Korea in that sense, where they're completely sort of on a different grid than Earth in that sense?
Well, I mean, so rogue nations, there's a lot of attribution, what we in the security industry is terming. To us, it's basically threat actors, right? And one big example that we saw was the Bangladeshi Swift attacks, right? That was something very complex in its method. It takes a lot of effort to build that kind of malware, to even introduce the malware into the environment. And attacking a central bank infrastructure, right, requires a lot of effort in that sense. So we're starting to see, that was the first instance, which, interestingly, I saw a second instance actually happen. It happened to the Russian Central Bank. Right. So not a lot of details were coming out of that yet, but definitely it was a cyber attack that actually happened on a central bank infrastructure again as well. So we start to see a lot of sophistication in terms of the attack will continue to will continue to grow, right, within the coming years as well.
Because these cyber criminals now, they're not just operating like a a bunch of hackers in a room. They're like a business now.
They're
getting
right.
a lot more smarter.
Correct. In fact, even in one of our reports, we're actually seeing it's actually a professional career for hackers.
I'm sure in the dark web somewhere there is a job opening for something, right?
Because why we're seeing that is because when we look at the attack patterns, a lot of the attacks pattern actually happens from Mondays to Fridays, 8 to 5s.
Wow.
And they actually take breaks, right? we actually see the attack, the traffic actually drop on the weekends and then it comes back up again on the weekdays, right? So these people are you're right. It's not what it's painted like in the movies then.
And also, one thing that I found interesting is drones. This could be something that Symantec is seeing. It could have a real impact in the cybersecurity world because drones are being used by as a delivery service.
Yes.
Amazon in the US is
correct.
They're trying it out.
Yes.
This is going to be a problem.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, when you look at our report, it's of course we look at it from a global perspective, and of course, certain countries are really big into drones, and in fact, even Malaysia, we do have used drones to do geo mapping and things like that. But of course, not your food, your milk delivery yet. But in that sense, I think if you apply it to a local Malaysian context, in that sense, we won't see that much of a problem, right? In the next, definitely in 2017, but I think come 2020, 2025, as the technology becomes, again, right, it's new technology adoption, drones, people will find all sorts of innovative ways of using drone technology. But of course, then how do you make sure the security is built in?
And has the drone industry at the moment, because you mentioned it's it's only when you're 2020 or 2025, we will sort of see this happening in this part of the region. But in the US, because you have companies, the big players like the Amazons are doing, and I'm very sure Alibaba will also probably be interested in doing something like this, does the industry need to hit a certain a bigger share of a pie, or does it need to reach a certain level before it catches the cyber criminals' attention and go like, yep, now it's worth for me to go in because there is enough money for me to capture from this?
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting, because if you look at the economics of it, right, the cyber criminals will basically go where the money is, right? So if there is actually enough adoption in drone, and if it's, if you're literally seeing, a lot of drones flying all over, why not, right? They are just basically going where the money is. So really, I guess it depends on how innovative businesses are in terms of getting drone technology adoption out there, and how innovative the use cases are. But as consumers are fickle minded in that sense. Now I hear people, instead of going digital, they go vinyl. Right, so they're going old school again. So who knows what's going to happen? Right?
One day you just want to go back to analog. You never know.
Right.
And a whole bunch of new technologies as well coming into play. One of it, which is not sort of new, it's been around for a while now, Internet of Things, we've mentioned about it as well. We can't deny the benefits of the Internet of Things, but we also can't just simply push it away because of the security aspects or the lack of it in that sense, as we saw it being taken advantage with the Mirai botnet, with DIN in that sense, right? Is this going to be like a massive problem moving ahead? Because IoT is a sort of an industry that has been talked about so much, and we're talking about explosion of devices because, you know, we don't, now at the moment we carry just, you know, smartphones and like tablets and so forth. But in the next few years' time, or even just in 2017, our homes are going to be connected. You know, our grid systems of, you know, our public transportations. We're talking about smart cities, smart nation. Is this something that is going to be a problem to reach that dream of that smart nation, that smart cities? Because security is just always that concern, and every single day we get a story on like, someone got hacked.
So that's the thing that, you know, I've been in the industry for a while now, and it's always been viewed that security is a showstopper, right? It's going to stop you from adopting technologies, which is what, you know, I like to post a different way of actually thinking about it, right? If you want to adopt IoT, you want to be able to adopt all these new technologies, in fact, it is actually security. The security capabilities is the one that actually enables you to adopt it even faster. Right? So if you think about it, if you think about it in the real world, you got this flashy new car, drives, you know, like it goes like whatever top speeds it goes, you know, but if it doesn't have security, if it doesn't have brakes in it, it doesn't have ABS, it doesn't have seat belts and things like that, would you want to buy it? Yeah. And would you even want to drive it, right? So it's because of security that it's enabling you to actually adopt these things faster, right? So that mindset, I think, hopefully, you know, people will start to think that, you know, don't think of security as something that's blocking you from adopting the technology, right? Think of cybersecurity as one that will actually enable you to adopt the technology faster and more securely and, you know, safer for everyone, right? You don't want to be adopting IoT devices, technologies without security built in, especially when it comes to critical infrastructure. People can just go in, change settings, you know, stop the train or, you know, close the train while somebody's on track, right? But so security in there should be seen as an enabler.
I'm speaking to David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia. And after the Bursa update, we'll be talking about connected cars and how the cloud will change in 2017. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise. My name is Jeff Sandu, and I'm here with David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia. And we're taking a look at the Symantec 2017 predictions. And early on, we talked about what exactly happened in 2016, and then we also looked on 2017. We've got things like Rogue Nation, we've got fireless malware, we've got, you know, drones being hijacked, drone jacking in that sense. And in 2017, we will see a lot more of cars that are being connected to the internet. We saw it a few in 2016. I remember in 2016, one of the highlights for me when it comes to the cybersecurity space was when white hackers decided to do a test on hacking a Jeep Cherokee in the US. As part of like an article to show what the capabilities of, you know, an infotainment system that's connected to the internet can do to the entire car itself. Is connected cars something that we should really just be a bit more careful in terms of trying to push it out to the market, to the consumer market, because the risk it carries, which is, you know, people's lives are at stake here?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think when it comes to, definitely when lives are involved, you would want to make sure that enough precautions are taken, have been taken, and enough security measures have been built into the cars. And again, right, like all things, the new technologies, I think it's only human for us to try out new things and realize that hit a bump and then realize, okay, you know, maybe that isn't the way. Then, you know, we improve ourselves upon that, right? It's not, we shouldn't be using it as, you know, this is so dangerous out there and we're not going to ever do it. But you still want to do it. But, of course, you build all the safeguards in. For you to be able to adopt and enjoy the benefits.
And has it been difficult in the sense where, because we're putting in chips into so many of these new devices, from the security side of things, like, is it a completely, you know, new framework or new security way or solutions to try to protect this device, even though we're sort of utilizing chips that we use in different devices and being secured in a certain way, now that we're putting the same chips into, you know, cars and vehicles because now they're more access point. Is that a problem? Because the door to entry to your system is not just one door anymore. You've got now probably a million more doors to cover. Is that been hard for like the security player to just because of the vast amount of doors to protect the user?
Yeah, you're right. I think in that sense, I guess when it comes to device, you know, each device has its own very specific use cases. The technology behind it may be generic, but once applied to a particular use case or you know, cars to fridge and things like that, it's very different in terms of its implementation. So in that sense, you're right, you know, potentially, you know, there may be potential hurdles in terms of what kind of frameworks and standards you know, these device manufacturers need to standardize on. And I think that is something, you know, all the IoT players, you know, including us within Symantec, you know, have to work with these device manufacturers, you know, to make sure that that is all being taken into consideration. We've actually started looking at automotive, actually. So we started developing certain solutions internally that is built specifically for the automotive industry, especially with connected cars. So we want to be able to build... you know, so the car manufacturers will go ahead and still build their cars, right? And expect all the systems to work the way it works. But one interesting thing that arises from the security industry, you notice is that the bad guys will try to test the limits of the systems itself, right? Be it networking systems, the communication protocols, right? And when you start testing them, that's where we want to have the ability to put in to detect those kind of anomalies that are happening in within the cars itself and be able to alert you that, hey, there are certain things that are running, you know, not within your normal parameters that you should be aware of. Right. So I think in that sense, I think we within Symantec, we're working with all the different industry players that are open enough who realizes the security is important. And security is actually a key feature, right? Or you call it key feature, key enabler, right? For consumers to adopt, especially when it comes to connected cars.
It's going back to that mindset of thinking of security is not like a hurdle; it's more of an enabler.
Yes, in
a
correct. Sense.
And once you have that mindset shift, it will seem like it's a lot more better world out there, probably.
Yes,
and all this actually just comes down to you know, something that we tend to forget, that all this relies on the cloud. Anything that Symantec is looking at 2017, that what will happen to the cloud? Are we, you know, more protected on the cloud, or is cloud more at risk in 2017?
So to me, in my mind, cloud is another computing infrastructure out there that you know, both consumers and enterprise will start to use and, you know, figure out the cost benefits of it, the cost efficiencies, you know, whether is it worth it going to cloud, and definitely, you know, most of my conversations with a lot of enterprises out there, you know, they cannot deny not having that conversation about cloud, right? And similarly for the attackers as well, that is just a natural shift in attention. Because consumers are thinking about it, enterprises are now putting data up into the cloud. Mm. That's where the money is. And, you know, it's an age-old game of cops versus robbers, right? Mm. They'll go where the money is. And that's where I think we need to shift a lot of our attention to. And with that respect, I think within Symantec, we realize and recognize that as well. So we're making sure that a lot of our products are built to support all these cloud technologies as well.
And I think 2017 has a slight hope of that, you know, the cybersecurity world will be a lot more better and will probably be a lot more safer because the advancements of AI or machine learning. Is this something that could really actually help in fighting cybercrime? Because, you know, we're not talking about humans against humans. Now we're talking about AI going after, you know, malwares, which are, you know, computer programs anyways. It's a much more even fight in that sense, right?
Yeah, great point. I think we, on the good, on our side, on the good guy side, right, I think we are really now looking at really harnessing technology in terms of how do we now analyze, you know, all the billions of unique malware that we're actually seeing out there in the wild. And instead of using old traditional ways of combating these things, AI, machine learning, that's where we are harnessing a lot of that capabilities to be able to learn from the actual malware that we're seeing out there in the wild, and be able to provide a more effective security mechanisms down to the end user.
Is this possible within 2017, or is this something maybe, you know, and beyond as well? Because, you know, machine learning is just a continuous evolution in that sense.
So I'll give you a specific example. So within Symantec, we've actually launched machine learning capabilities within our endpoint protection capability. So today, the software is actually relying on a lot of AI and machine learning capabilities that we pull down from the cloud. What really makes, and if you read a lot of literature out there around machine learning in general, what really makes machine learning so unique and or machine learning so powerful, it's the data sets that you're actually feeding the algorithms, right? Mm. So the more data sets you have, the richer the information. So, I mean, Symantec is, you know, now today the largest cybersecurity company in the world with that amount of intelligence that we get. So we're using all of that, distilling down to a very very clear signature sets that we are actually pushing down to the endpoints, right, for machine learning.
And last but not least, David, tips for business owners on how to sort of stay protected throughout 2017, some simple tips that they could do.
I think for business users, business organizations, definitely, I think the first step is really to know where your assets are, right? Especially your information assets, where they're located, you know, especially if it's going out to cloud. Knowing that already wins you, you know, I guess, one third of the battle, because the second point to that is really looking at all the newer technologies that are out there. Symantec has to offer, or even within the industry itself has to offer, and where the technologies are actually going towards, to like machine learning. Mm. Right, that's one good example around that. But of course, you want to also look at the part where, you know, you have to expect something is going to happen, right? I think it has always been, been in the industry long enough to think that, you know, when they put in a piece of technology and that's it, right? They figure, I've paid it, I expected you to be 100% correct all the time. But, you know, time and time again, yeah, we see that's not the case. So being ready for an event, right? Mm. Being ready for a cyber breach, being ready for a cyber incident, cybersecurity incident, that is going to be critical. In fact, that potentially could be the one that literally almost saves the business. Because if you do get breached and you cannot, if you don't recover from that, I mean, how are you going to continue with your business?
And previously, you know, businesses would never think twice about, you know, cutting down the IT budget when they need to, because it's a tough year and so forth and all. Yeah. 2017 is, again, a lot of people saying the first quarter or the first two quarters of 2017 is going to be a tough year. There may be some setbacks. On your side of things, is IT still taking a hit, or like, do organizations now look at IT as like, you know what, we can't actually, you know, take much of a hit for the IT department because they are vital to the sustainability of the company itself?
So, I guess I'll be honest, in terms of the conversations that we're having, you're right. Most businesses are telling us that, you know, look, 2017 is just, we're going to be a bit more prudent with our spending. Mm. We're going to be a bit more careful with it. But having said that, the companies out there do realize that they still need to protect themselves, right? Mm. They still need to find ways to the newer technologies and to be able to protect against these newer malwares. Because what they realize is they're going to have to do more with less now, right? Yeah. Because systems, you know, people are, you know, changing jobs, and so they don't replace the headcounts, you know, so the one guy has to do more now, right? So that's where technology comes in. That's where automation comes in that sense. But I think in 2017 we're going to see we're going to see a lot of opportunities in that sense for us to be able to help companies, you know, secure the cyberspace. But I think it's just going to be a lot of work for everyone involved.
But is it going to be a good year?
I'm optimistic. Yes, you know, it's 2017 start of the year, but I think we will have a good year. Yes.
All right, cool. Yes. Yeah. And I've been speaking to David Raju. He's the Director of Systems Engineering for Symantec Malaysia, and we were taking a look at the 2017 predictions in the cybersecurity world. If you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the podcast at bfm.my, or better yet, you can get our app on the iOS App Store and also Google's Play Store. My name is Jeff Sandu, and you've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.